I suggest that we go through and take this business and try to pass a viable financial business to the next generation. If we're going to do that, we got to think about this kind of a three-legged stool, if you will. We've got to talk about our goals. And most of us men in particular are not great communicators. We don't really like to talk. We would rather sweep things under the rug or just let it go. But we have to talk about our goals. We got to talk about the financial viability of the business, and then we have to develop a succession plan. I'll tell you a quick story about probably 10 years ago, I was working with a family, sitting at a kitchen table, and a 68-year-old guy and I are visiting, and we're talking about transitioning the business from one generation to the next. You know, and I kind of talk about it like, well, you know, if you just throw a kid in the deep end of the swimming pool, he or she might get to the side. They might swim out of it. Some are going to make it. Some aren't going to make it, but some will make it. If you want to improve their chances of making it, it might make some sense to train them, get into the shallow end of the pool, teach them how to hold their breath, teach them how to kick their feet, teach them how to paddle and swim a little. Might make some sense. I think you'll improve your odds. And we were talking about that with him, and the 68-year-old guy says, well, he says, how old do you think the son should be when the father starts passing some of this management-making authority, this decision-making authority, from one generation to the next? And I said to him, well, how old is your son? And he said, well, my son's 39, but I wasn't asking about my son. I was asking about my dad and me. Yeah, and his dad was 90-ish, and this guy was 68, and every morning the 68-year-old and 39-year-old would get in the pickup, and they would drive over to the 90-year-old's house, and both his dad and mom were alive, so they're both 90-year-old parents. And when dad would get out of breakfast, he'd come out and say, okay, you go rake the hay and you go feed the cow, right? He kept total control of that business, total control of that business. You know, and he never taught them how to float. He never taught them how to paddle. He never taught them how to hold their breath. He never taught them any of that stuff. And you as owners and operators of your business know your business better than anyone. You are the expert. You know the parts of your operation that need special care. You know where to market. You know where to buy. You know where to sell. You know that better than anyone. And this 90-year-old had never taught his 68-year-old anything about any of those activities. So I said to him, well, what have you ever talked about what your parents' plan is for the operation? And he says, well, I think they're going to pass it all to me someday, but we've never discussed it. I said, oh, okay. And I came back a couple months later. Actually, I saw him at a different meeting. And he came up and said, Dave, I've got some bad news. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, I had a chance to visit with my folks, and we talked about their estate plan. And what they told me was their estate plan was to divide everything equally between me and my 7 brothers and sisters, okay? So he was going to get 1/8 of the entire business, just like his sister that lived in Chicago and his brother that lived in New York City and all the rest of them. Well, you know, his contribution to that business had been way different than theirs, and I'm going to visit about that in a bit. The idea about contribution and compensation, you know, that situation bothered me a lot. I mentioned John Baker before. John and I have talked a lot about this whole idea of transitioning the business and this concept of contribution and compensation. You know, this individual contributed way differently to the success of that business than his 7 brothers and sisters did. Way differently. And he was compensated. He had a small ranch house to live in, five rooms, probably 1,200 square foot ranch house, modest. That was part of his compensation. He was paid a small wage, probably a little less than minimum wage. He got a half a beef a year, That's what he was paid. He started working when he was 18 years old, right out of high school. He's 68 years old now, so he's invested 50 years of his life in this business. And his brothers and sisters moved away when they got out of high school. Some of them got a college degree, some of them got jobs, but they all moved away. Well, when mom and dad died, this is what happened. That business got sold. This guy that inherited 1/8 of it, my 68-year-old guy, he wanted to buy that operation. If there's any lenders in the group and you have someone that walks in with 1/8 equity, how many of you want to loan 7/8 of the purchase price to someone to try to buy that? It just doesn't work. Can't do it, right? And so this individual was not able to buy that operation. It was sold to the highest bidder. That's not what mom and dad really wanted to have happen, but they didn't. Their plan wasn't very thorough. That individual inherited his 1/8. His wife had health issues. Most of that money was spent on the health issues. She died, and he's currently living in federally subsidized housing in a small town in Nebraska. Not all that far from here, actually, but that's another point. That's not what mom and dad wanted to have happen in that business. But they didn't plan. They didn't think about it. They didn't go ahead with their operation like they could have. Well, when all that happened, I get to thinking about this idea of contribution and compensation. So I put a little schematic together, a little outline or diagram, if you will. And I'll just work through that. It's a little example. Let's go through that quickly. Let's talk about contribution. You know, what are people contributing to the business? Some families will tell me that, you know, if little Jimmy hadn't come back into the business, we'd have probably sold it 5 or 10 years ago and moved to town. We wouldn't even own this ranch anymore. We wouldn't even own this farm anymore. Or maybe they tell you that, well, when little Jimmy came back, you know, he was really good at AI-ing, and he had a really good skill. He had a great eye for bulls. He could pick out the best sires. He did a great job on that. Or maybe it's, you know, I use Jimmy here, but it doesn't have to be. There's several women getting involved in this all the time. It seems like there's more all the time. Maybe little Janie's contribution to the business was that she was really good at marketing, or she did really good at some other area. So what's the contribution been? What about the compensation? There's three areas, I think, where you can compensate people. You can pay them a wage. See if I can read that. Yeah, there we go. Pay them a wage. You can actually pay them for what they're worth. That's one way to do it. Most of the time, as ranches and farms, we haven't had a lot of extra loose money sitting around that we could pay top wages though. We could give some sort of a sweetheart arrangement. Maybe they could run 100 cows for nothing or as part of the deal, or they could rent the quarter down the road for half price or whatever. They could use the machinery for nothing. Sweetheart arrangements. Or maybe, if those two things don't work out, you have to go all the way to the estate plan and work it out, okay? So this is a little example of working through that. Let's say that we have a situation, and in 1990, little Jimmy comes back to the operation, and there's a net worth of mom and dad own worth $300,000, and there's three kids involved in the business. So if we would take that $300,000 and divide it by three, that would be $100,000 for each kid. Assuming that each kid had contributed equally, then they would be compensated equally, right? Let's, though, move into 2011 and look at what the net worth might be. And I'm doing easy math here, so I just put a three in front of the $300,000 and call it $3.3 million. We took the $3.3 million and divided that by each kid. That'd be $1.1 million each, right? That would assume that each one had contributed equally and that work had been compensated for. But many times people tell me, well, we haven't compensated little Jimmy probably as well as we could have. You know, when he came back, we bought that quarter across the road because he came back. Or we added those two or three sections down the line because he was coming back to the business. We'd have never done that otherwise. Or we were able to improve our genetics, or we were able to maintain some ownership, retain ownership in some feedlots because he came back, or whatever it might be.